D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
This Mother's Day, we take a look at why mothers are so important, especially when there are forces at work seeking to destroy both the family and the church. We'll talk about these sinister efforts and what we can do about it, all on today's Truths That Transform.
Does the Bible teach socialism? What would you say to those who claim it does? You'll find the answers in the booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism? From the new Truth in Action question and answer series. This 8-page booklet lays out the arguments on both sides in a clear and concise way. It gives you the biblical talking points to be able to answer those who claim the Bible mandates socialism. To get your copy, please call, write, or go online. And be sure to include a generous donation towards the ongoing work of this ministry. And we'll send you the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism?
Happy Mother's Day and welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. On today's program, D. James Kennedy will share a powerful message on the importance of mothers. And we will also look at the attacks on the American family, all in service of an agenda that has undermined motherhood, and indeed the very foundations of our culture as well. This agenda is cultural Marxism, and it has flown under the radar in America for decades, actively seeking to destroy the family and revolutionize society. Dr. Paul Kangor is professor of political science and executive director of the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City College. He is the author of Takedown, From Communists to Progressives, How the Left Has Sabotaged Family and Marriage. And he joins us now. Dr. Kangor, we're delighted to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Sure, Frank. Good to be with you. Thanks.
And many people look around us, ourselves and the world today, and see what appears to be chaos. And yet, if you overlay a matrix of cultural Marxism, it all starts to come into a little more sharp focus, doesn't it? What is cultural Marxism? Help explain that for us.
Well, you have to separate it first from traditional Marxism. And traditional Marxism was Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels writing in the Communist Manifesto, and they wanted an economic class revolution. So you know, their road to utopia was by this class upheaval, this economic upheaval. Now, the cultural Marxists came along 50, 60, 70 years later, even a full century later, and they said, you're never going to take down the West. You're never going to take down Western society. You're not going to do it through an economic revolution. You're not going to do it through a class revolution. So they advocated what they called a long march through the institutions. They would do it through sex. They would do it through education. They would do it through film, media, and the universities. The universities, universities, universities above all. So that's the sort of long march that they commenced, and that's really where the Marxists, frankly, I think, have tragically been most successful.
So part of their strategy has to be, it seems to me, the destruction of all competing authority. Because if you have other institutions in the culture that are unable to articulate, you know, an opposing viewpoint, then cultural Marxism has sort of free rein. What are some of the institutions that are in the crosshairs of the cultural Marxists?
Well, in this sense, this is something that they share completely and totally with the traditional Marxists: religion, God, the family. Marx in the Communist Manifesto wrote abolition of the family, exclamation mark. And in fact, he said the exact line is abolition of the family. Even the most radical flare up at this infamous proposal of the communists. So they understood back then that the family had to be a target. Religion had to be a target. The cultural Marxists, they really put religion and family in the crosshairs. And the cultural Marxists in particular, and this is something that the Marx and Engels probably couldn't even conceive of, they really started going after sexual boundaries, gender, sexual relationships. So, you know, they, as one scholar, Ralph de Toledano, put it, they sought to institute a kind of unrestrained miasma of sex, right? The more you could unleash sex, the more you could take down the institutions of the culture.
You know, when you watch change, it is something of a phenomenon to see the pace of change in our day, the speed which with things like same-sex marriage and transgenderism have suddenly been accepted in America. You know, just 8 years ago, both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were pro-family, in favor of traditional marriage, and now that viewpoint gets you called someone who supports Jim Crow laws by the former Attorney General. What does it tell you about the pace of change that we're observing?
Well, it's amazing. And also, I would point out, Frank, the Obergefell decision, May 2015, the way the transgender movement has taken off since then. That's been really shocking. It was as if the radical left understood that once they were able to establish in principle and get the Supreme Court's backing, that they could redefine something as basic as marriage. It was just a matter of time before they said, well, then why can't we redefine our own gender as well? And that's what happens when you smash the absolutes, when you break the absolutes, when you take that the idea of one man, one woman in marriage, and you break it, and you say, we can now redefine it however we want. When you take the idea that God created them, he created them male and female, and you smash that concept, you know, Dostoevsky said, when God does not exist, everything is permissible. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate the insights that you bring on this. This is a battle that many don't understand. Thanks again for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Those who wish to turn our culture upside down to further their Marxist revolution are savvy about the targets they pick. If you can undermine the structure of the family, you can undermine our whole society. On this Mother's Day, Dr. D. James Kennedy reminds us of the unique importance of mothers in this portion of his message, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
The hand that rocks the cradle must not be very talented, or surely it would find something more interesting to do. That's the Revised Standard Version, written no doubt by Betty Friedan et al. Yet in the original version it said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And my friends, I think it's very important that we understand which one of those versions is really the truth. We often forget that were it not for the mother of Moses, he would never have been alive. He would never have been educated and trained and prepared for the great and mighty task to which God called him. We see that it was the mother of Moses who arranged to save his life and then took her back into her home and trained him and taught him taught him about the living God and about the heritage of her people, and prepared him for that great day when he would lead his people out of the bondage of Egypt and there upon the Mount of Sinai would receive the commandments of the Lord. And surely the giving of the Ten Commandments and the moral law of God has had perhaps a greater influence on ruling the world than most any other mere human contribution in history. George Washington said it would be impossible to rule the world without God and the Ten Commandments. How important, then, was the part that Moses' mother played in that great drama, still unfolding down through the ages 3,500 years later? The truth, indeed, is that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But in this past quarter century, we have seen a most unnatural phenomenon in the radical feminist movement. We have been told that motherhood is demeaning, and that if women wanted to find fulfillment, they had to get out of the home and into the marketplace. Now, in the New Testament, we read that those women who are older in the faith are to teach the young women to be, note well, keepers at home. That's what it says. Teach them to be keepers at home. Because God knows that the children need their mothers. So I would urge mothers, young mothers, mothers of young children, to learn to be keepers at home and realize that what you are doing has enormous significance. Be not deceived and misled by the so-called wisdom of this world. And today, many women are realizing that the architects of the feminist movement have given them nothing but the wisdom of the world, which has proved to be a lie, and they too have been deceived. Finally, I would like to say to our mothers, something else that you can do, not only to stay home and train your children and convey to them the values and morals that you hold, to love them, pray for them. It is the hand of a praying mother that has been most influential in affecting the world. A godly mother is a great blessing and one of the highest callings in all of the world. Said Teddy Roosevelt, that motherhood, that mothers are the most precious asset of any nation. They are more important than statesmen, businessmen, artists, or professionals. Mothers are more important than any of those.
Dr. Kennedy noted how mothers play a critical and God-given role in our society. Yet the full-time stay-at-home mom is now almost considered an oddity or even a victim of male oppression. This is just one example of the attempt to redefine our culture through political correctness, which has been brought to us by cultural Marxism. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
One of the foundational things America is built on is a respect for life. In 2012, conservative politician Todd Akin's career was destroyed by a six-second misstatement. all attempts to correct the record were ignored. Say the wrong thing despite apologies and clarifications in your history. Say the wrong thing if you're politically correct on issues like abortion or marriage, and you're safe.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
What's the difference between one gaffe and another? One politician holds policy views that are considered politically correct and gets a pass on ill-advised statements. Another holds views considered politically incorrect and suffers a firestorm. Political correctness, which is liberal censorship that shuts down the debate before it even happens, has become a serious problem in our culture.
Political correctness is a cancer on the American landscape. And it is time that Christians stand up against political correctness. It is a barrier to truth. And as Christians, we are to be representatives of He who is truth, Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Right now, more than ever in American history, the free exercise of religion is under attack. It's to the point now where a Christian baker, a Christian photographer, the Christian florist, people particularly involved in the wedding industry right now, are being put to the test. They're being told, you either answer to man or you answer to God.
Political correctness is a problem in the schools, not only at the college level, where would-be speakers who are conservatives routinely get shut down by protesting mobs. But it begins even earlier.
When you and I were growing up, our public schools were about dispensing knowledge, facts, information from an objective, non-political standpoint, and kids could go from there, and they were well-educated. Today, it's very different. Today, the classroom under Common Core, which is just a continuation of the federal government takeover of the classroom, today under Common Core, we've thrown out objective knowledge, facts, and information, and in its place, we're putting in politically correct attitudes, values, and beliefs that are pre-approved by the federal government. And so these classrooms now are no longer about education, they're about indoctrination.
As a pastor,
political correctness continues to be a problem in the military, and often traditional chaplains are therefore under fire.
The military is becoming more politically correct. Chaplains come to their moral positions based upon their understanding of Scripture. And so for then the government to come in and say, well, you can't hold that scriptural position, that's a violation and a direct attack upon religious freedom.
Many of them who come from denominations that do not support same-sex marriage, for example, many of them are under pressure to perform same-sex marriages. And most of the ones that I've talked to are, when the time comes that they're told to do it, they're going to refuse to do it. Well, that fractures our military because the chaplains are so important. Other chaplains have been told not to pray in the name of Jesus other than in the pulpit in their church. It's all about political correctness.
And political correctness causes us to deal ineffectively with radical Islam, claiming that Islamophobia is perhaps a bigger problem than is radical Islam.
Christians are the single most persecuted group in the world today. And sadly, this is really ignored. And it is particularly ignored by Western leaders through political correctness and out of some kind of misguided belief by the majority of the pastors and churches in the West, including in the United States.
Actually, the United States of America is bound and paralyzed by what we call political correctness. For example, our FBI needed 90 translators who would translate Arabic into English. And instead of accepting some Christians and Jews who had a proven track record, they actually went to Dearborn, Michigan and chose Muslims to do it. And of course, if you do a lot of background checks, you can be criticized for discrimination.
So we see political correctness undercutting common sense and promoting chaos on one front after another.
It stems from cultural Marxism, which seeks revolution by overturning objective reality and replacing it with the desired results of the left. But we are called to be faithful regardless of the circumstances. The Bible, after all, is perhaps the most politically incorrect book of them all. Martin Luther's classic hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," is quite instructive on this. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
What's going to be the future of Christians in America? I believe that if we walk according to God's precepts, if we refuse to be politically correct and instead become biblically correct, I believe if we heed Jesus' warnings not to be afraid of people who are able to kill the body, but to fear God who is able to cast both body and soul in hell, I believe that we are going to suffer great persecution.
I think it's imperative that Christians reconcile with themselves right now that they are going to be the church, and if they are going to stand for biblical truth, meaning that they should be prepared to lose absolutely everything.
And our prayer is that there'd be a revival of boldness, that God's people would acknowledge the rights they've been given under our Constitution in this great country, and that they would boldly declare, not their own opinions, not what others may be saying, not what's even politically correct in our culture, but to boldly declare the truth of the Word of God, because that's the unchanging principle that will make the difference for future generations.
We have all seen the strange legacy of political correctness in our society, where certain traditional viewpoints are simply declared off limits in polite society. But what's not so readily seen is that political correctness is simply an offshoot of cultural Marxism. When the economic revolution of communism failed, certain partisan socialists merely shifted from an economic battle to a cultural one, attempting to overturn the traditional Judeo-Christian values that have shaped Western civilization. The central goal, however, remains a socialistic transformation of society. We have two resources to share with you that will help you understand the truth about this insidious agenda. Here's my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The Marxist movement to overthrow American society is active in the media and on our college campuses. It stands behind the street protests we've recently seen, as well as the politically correct censorship at our universities. What's more, there's often an attempt to credit these ideas to Jesus. That's why we have produced the short Truth in Action Q&A booklet, "Does the Bible Teach Socialism?" This booklet is perfect for anyone who wants to know the truth about what the Bible says about socialism and wants to be able to talk about it intelligently. We also want to share with you the powerful book, 10 Truths About Socialism. This easy-to-read, important book explains how socialism's founding fathers rejected God and sought to undermine the family, an agenda that's still advancing today. We'll send you both resources, the Truth in Action Q&A booklet, "Does the Bible Teach Socialism?" as well as the book, 10 Truths About Socialism, as our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Why are the First Amendment rights of Christians being taken away in America today? How did same-sex so-called marriage suddenly become law, even though three-quarters of the American public opposed it just a few years ago? Why is there now a battle over whether your daughter should have to share a locker room with a biological male who identifies himself as female? The answer is cultural Marxism. You need to understand Marx's ideas in order to understand why our society is being turned upside down. And you need to know how Marx's ideas oppose biblical truth. These two resources will equip you. If you're able to give a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry, we will thank you by sending you the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, Does the Bible Teach Socialism?, as well as the vital book, 10 Truths About Socialism. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, claims to be about choice and about women's health. That has been the justification offered for federal funding provided to Planned Parenthood. And this well-worn script that it's all about women's health is endlessly parroted by the leftist news media and even the President of the United States. But phone calls recorded earlier this year showed that to be a bald-faced lie. When investigative journalists anonymously called one Planned Parenthood facility after another to ask for prenatal care, that is, care for a baby that they plan to give birth to, they were told that Planned Parenthood had nothing for them. In one typical phone call, a clinic worker in Arizona said, "We don't have prenatal care here. Planned Parenthood offers abortions. They don't offer prenatal care." In reality, Planned Parenthood and their ilk are not about choice. They are about abortion, plain and simple. On Mother's Day, we celebrate motherhood, something entirely at odds with the mission of Planned Parenthood and other abortion advocates. These advocates deny the humanity of the baby in the womb, and they see God's design for motherhood as a curse. This is, of course, consistent with Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger. Early in her career, she founded a magazine called Woman Rebel. And on the masthead, she put the slogan, "No gods, no masters." Sanger, like all radical progressives, sought to remake society by undermining the family. Killing children in the womb is just one means to that end. In sharp contrast stands the Word of God, which says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." So today we say thank you for self-sacrificing, God-honoring mothers. May you be blessed for your submission to the Lord Jesus. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The pursuit of religious liberty is right in the DNA of the American experience.
One of the issues which most troubles and perplexes the national life today is the issue of church and state.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.